Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
One day, at some point in the future, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after, maybe the week after, or the year, or a decade, you're going to wake up and you're going to go for a walk. There'll be a rhythm to your footsteps, a music. Every new step will be a testament to the many thousands that came before it. Every breath an echo of the machine inside. A ritual, is it, then? A ritual to keep the body moving. And on your walk, you'll look both left and right before crossing the road, and you'll check your phone for any new messages or emails, and you'll blink to keep your eyes moist, and when you get hungry, you'll eat to keep your body full. You'll drink to keep your body hydrated. So it's the ritual that makes it. Without the rituals, everything stops. The drinking, the eating, the blinking, and the breathing. So don't stop walking. Ever. Walk your feet down to the bones. Bleed and prove to yourself that you're still alive. Walk your feet down to the nubs. Bleed for the ritual. Bleed to prove that you exist. If you aren't walking until your feet are coming loose at the seams, then how can you be so sure you even exist at all? Oh, and while you're out for a walk, why not listen to Volume 94 of The Other Stories? We have some amazing gems for you this coming month. Stories of Sin Eaters, Seminars, Wizardry, and Cheeky Childhood Games. Stories from Galen Gower, Ethan K. Lee, Georgia Cook, and James Fritz. And narrations by Josh Curran, Erica Ventura, James Barnett, aka Jimmy Horrors himself, and Georgia Cook. Produced by Jimmy Horrors, Carl Hughes, and Duncan Muggleton. If you enjoy what we do, be sure to become a TOS Plus member. This will get you access to the premium feed, which includes exclusive content, ad-free, early access, high-quality audio, and you'll be supporting your favourite weekly weird fiction podcast. More info can be found at theotherstories.net/plus, or just go and subscribe either via Apple's premium podcast service or Patreon. Speaking of Patreon, we have 4 new superpowered patrons, so prepare to taste the rainbow, smell the dream, and welcome to the superpowered Patreon team. Julie Fisher, the enchanter of the awkward silence. In any awkward social situation, she can summon an invisible choir to fill the silence with background music, transforming awkward pauses into dramatic interludes. Devil's Vine, who can perform a dance that reverses time by 5 minutes. useful for undoing minor faux pas, or reliving particularly delicious bites of food. Mizor Percy. By lighting a special ritualistic candle, they can summon an ethereal entity that gives surprisingly great life advice. Advice that smells mildly of lavender. And finally, Rich Hozek. All for himself. He can create a magical circle on the ground that, when entered, causes everyone's pockets to fill with delicious snacks. The catch is, you never know what snack you're going to get. Cheddars. But I wanted Munster Munch. Said nobody ever, because cheddar's the best, obviously. Anyway, thanks for joining the fight to take over the world of independent audio fiction. You'll get access to over 90 exclusive episodes a week early and ad-free, along with this month's exclusive episode, Hey Diary, written by Rich Hozek himself and narrated by Sarah Jane Justice. A woman's voice-activated diary starts scripting her life with alarming accuracy, leading her down a dark path where reality and written word dangerously intertwine. Once again, to get access to that episode, you'll need to be a Plus member. That's theoverstories.net/plus, or head over to patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. So for this month's volume opener, our man in the field, sorry, Dan in the field, is interviewing author Chris Panettiere. So, without further ado, over to you, Dan.
Hey, it's me, Daniel Wilcox, and joining me this week in the Other Stories writing chair, I've got the insanely talented Chris Panettiere. Chris lives in Dallas, Texas with his wife, daughter, and a fluctuating herd of animals resembling dogs. One is almost certainly a goat. He writes short stories and novels, plays the drums, and draws album covers for metal bands. Chris's brand new novel, The Redemption of Morgan Bright by Angry Robot Books, hit stores on April 23rd. Chris, welcome to the Other Stories.
I'm extremely excited to be here. Thank you so much.
I am extremely excited to have you. I want to jump in first with a question brought by your bio, just because when you say that you play the drums, the play is in inverted commas. So I kind of wanted to know what you mean by you play the drums.
Several years ago, I was playing Rock Band on the PlayStation, and I always chose the drums. And I was like, one day I was like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? These are actually kind of like drums. So I went and bought a cheap set of drums and then took lessons for a few years. And of course, you know, my sensibility is like extreme metal and I was aiming high, but never quite got there. And then I took lessons for a few years and then we had our daughter. So it's been very on and off, hot and cold. And then of course, I can only really practice if everyone's out of the house. So now I'm mainly a writer.
Yeah. Drums is one of the ones that I've just never gotten to. I've dabbled in many instruments, but I've just never had the chance to go on drums, apart from Rock Band, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. And so your new book, The Redemption of Morgan Bright, comes out in April, as we've said. Tell us a little bit about your writing journey and how you've kind of gotten to where you are today.
Well, I started late in life. It's sometimes when I talk about this, and of course I listen to so many podcasts, I listen to so many interviews with other writers, and the story is often very similar. The story is often, you know, I was sneaking copies of Pet Sematary from my mom or my dad and reading those as a 7-year-old or whatever, you know, and that's when I fell in love with horror, or that's when I decided I wanted to write. And my story is very different from that. I was always had a creative side. Mainly it was visual art and all of that. And, you know, I went to college. I loved debating and everything. And so I went to law school and I became a trial lawyer. So I was traveling around the country trying cases, and I wasn't reading a lot of fiction. I wasn't reading any horror. And it's funny because looking back when I was a kid, horror was my absolute favorite. But two things. One, my parents wouldn't let me watch any of it. And two, my imagination is so powerful still, I'm afraid of the dark. And I could remember going to the grocery store and going to the magazine aisle and picking up copies of Fangoria and like being so blown away by how terrifying these monsters were and everything, and utterly being just enthralled by it and loving it, but also being so scared. I was like, this is not for me. And that continued well into my adulthood, where only recently, full confession, like within the last 2 years, did I get the courage to like start watching horror movies again, mostly during the day? And I love them. I absolutely love them. But as far as writing, I started writing fiction in 2015. I was 38 years old when I started and kind of discovered it new. But for anyone who's maybe an aspiring writer who's listening, my journey started from ground, just below the basement. I had to Google how to do like dialogue tags. Like, where does the comma go? I didn't know anything, but I just started writing every day. I've been writing every day since 2015 and reading every day and really playing catch up on my childhood. And it was about 4 years after I started writing that I got my first book deal with Angry Robot Books.
Here we are now with book number three, soon to be on the way. What to you makes good horror?
You know, it's interesting. You know, I was just on some panels this weekend at Ghoulish Fest in San Antonio and hearing people kind of discuss this specific issue. It's funny. Some people really just want, you know, gore or splatter or whatever, and that scares them. And other people want, you know, more gothic, creep, subtle stuff. For me, regardless of the genre of fiction that I'm reading, whether it's sci-fi, fantasy, or horror, I want some element of wonder. Mm-hmm. And sometimes wonder can be something that absolutely creeps you out because you're like, I don't understand this. I don't have the full picture. And there's this delicate balancing act between, as a reader, where the author can lose you if they go too far afield in terms of sort of going so far that they disconnect you from the story, that the tether snaps and you just float away into outer space. But I love a well-balanced sense of wonder where not everything is spelled out and you can suspend disbelief and go, man, what if? You know, what if? And that's a little creepy because it's a mystery. And I think that if something is a mystery about what's going on, that's what scares me, but also I love that. So, you know, I love some good gore. I love a good jump scare. I love creepy imagery. And I love the juxtaposition of light and dark. I love putting something terrifying in the daylight. I mean, everybody uses the example of Midsommar, but it's a great example. You know, I mean, Midsommar, I loved Midsommar. And it's virtually all of it's in the daylight. And it's pretty freaky. And it has a big sense of wonder because there is a mystery as to what's going on. The cult that is at the center of that that movie has a lot of mystery and also a lot of lore, but you're not really let in on a lot of it. I love that. You know, there's when the movie ends, you still have all these questions, even though you felt like you were in good hands. Mm. You know, the author or the filmmaker wasn't just throwing things at the wall to see what stuck. They were in control. And for me, that's the biggest thing between a successful story and one that isn't as successful is if there's a sense of wonder and a sense of mystery, but I want to feel like the author or the creator knew what they were doing. If I suspect that they were just putting stuff out there and they didn't really have an idea behind it, even if they don't spell it out, because I don't want it spelled out, that's a little irritating to me. I feel like I'm being played with if they're like, yeah, well, all my stuff's ambiguous. Just because there's a place for ambiguity. But I think that if they're just like, I don't want to figure out what I'm doing and therefore it's ambiguous, that's frustrating to me as a reader and as a viewer.
Mm. I also love that you brought up Midsommar there, considering that you didn't even know this, but the theme that this section is preceding for the Other Stories podcast, they're all stories on ritual. And I think Midsommar is obviously a very good example of that kind of ritualistic, cultish kind of like vibe.
Yes.
Are you more of a horror film fanatic or more of a horror reader or kind of a balance of the two?
Really a balance of the two. all I've been reading for the past couple of years is horror. And I haven't yet tired of it. In fact, I have, you know, I have other friends who write fantasy or sci-fi, and I'm always reading their manuscripts right before they go on sub or before they acquire an agent or whatever. And I have noticed myself feeling a little bit divorced from those stories as far as my ability to connect with them. And I think that's because with horror stories, really, they're so intimate. You know, horror and romance are the only two genres that are named for an emotion, yes. Right? And horror, I always feel very in touch with the characters. And then when I jump to a sci-fi or a fantasy, I often feel a little bit divorced. And I write sci-fi and fantasy, you know, but horror, I'm really loving how up close I'm feeling to the characters and the stories. So I'm reading a ton of horror. The only reason I haven't watched as many movies is because, like, I've got a 10-year-old, we put her to bed, and then we've got like an hour to, you know, to maybe watch something. So every now and then I treat myself, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna stay up late tonight and I'll watch a horror movie, which I have graduated from watching them in the daytime now to being able to watch them in the dark. Ooh. So yeah, I'll just pat myself on the back for that.
So what's exciting you most in horror at the minute?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, I'm very excited about, you know, the first thing I think about is how I got to get my hands on an arc of Incidents Around the House by Josh Malerman. Ooh, yes. I'm hearing so much about it. I've pre-ordered it. I am shamelessly going to try to get an arc somewhere. just so I can read it, and then I'll have the book too. That's fine. I'm very, very excited about that. As far as things that I've read recently, one of my favorite authors is Laurel Hightower. Laurel has, I think it's her fourth novel/novella that comes out. It actually comes out on the same day as The Redemption of Morgan Bright. It is called The Day of the Door. It has probably the scariest like cover I've seen in a long time. And I blurbed that book. It's fantastic. Again, that's a very intimate, close in possession/character/paranormal TV show book. And so it's a lot of fun. It's got some elements of like A Head Full of Ghosts by Tremblay. But it's its own thing. And Laurel Hightower is just utterly fantastic. I'm also reading The House on, I'm gonna say it wrong. It's by Catherine McCarthy, who's actually there in Wales. And it's called The House on Laceline Street. Actually, that's how it's spelled. It's L-A-C-E-L-E-A-N. So maybe it's like Lachlian or
maybe, Lachlian. Yeah.
Right? It's going to be something that I utterly will, my mouth will fall off if I try to pronounce it. But I'm about halfway through that novel and it's masterful. It's so masterful. She is, I'm utterly confused in the best way. Like when we were talking about wonder and mystery, I feel with that book that I'm absolutely in the best hands. I feel like even though she has purposely confused me, I feel that she is in complete and total control. And that to me is when it's done the best. Mm. So that house is great and everyone should check that out. It's a very strong contemporary Gothic. And it's basically about three people that end up on a bus that drops them off in front of this house and they don't remember getting on the bus. And it's fascinating. And I utterly love it. So I'm right in the middle of that right now. And I'm trying to think of what else I'm looking back at my books, but I've got so many piles of books now because I go to all these cons, as you know, yeah. And I leave with many pounds of books that then take me years to get through if I ever get through them. But I'm very excited to read, Katrina Ward's Looking Glass Sound. I got it last year at Stoker. It's been out for half a year now. I'm a massive fan of hers. I love The Last House on Needle Street. That's like my Bible, you know. and I absolutely loved Sundial. I have yet to read Little Eve, but she's one of those authors that I kind of savor. I'm looking at Looking Glass Sound right now. I'm like so excited to get to it. And I've got a few more arcs and some manuscripts I have to get through, and hopefully that one will come soon. So, I mean, there's so much good stuff out there. I'm sure you know, right?
Yes.
And there's a ton of great like anthologies and short stories too. There's just, it's daunting to think about, but I try to read as much as I can.
I definitely have that like bookshelf curse, because I am looking at my bookshelves at the minute and I've been on a real reading kick lately, but I haven't even made a dent in how many that I've got that are just unread that I would like to get to.
Oh, 100%. I mean, totally. And it, you know, it's funny because I really do look forward to reading a book and then shouting about it and like tagging the author. And, you know, because, you know, look, I have some friends who write, and they're very chill and they're very almost too cool for school about how much they don't care what people think. And I don't understand that. I mean, maybe I sound like a rookie, but you're sharing what you've written with a reader, and only once a reader reads it does it become a whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. You have the words you put out there, and then you have the visualization in the reader's mind. And if, you know, I've seen people say, hey, look, like authors love it if you want to write them and say you enjoyed their book. And so it gives me great pleasure when I get to dig into my TBR pile and pull one out and read it and enjoy it and then tell the world, like, guys, you know, check this book out. Here's why this book might be for you, you know, and to just be a part of boosting, you know, this lovely community that we're a part of.
Oh, 100%. Now, your brand new book, as we keep mentioning, and that's not because you've asked me to plug it, it's just because I'm really excited for it. I've seen the artwork. Obviously, we met in Pittsburgh in SokaCon last year, and this was all very much in the works then, and I'm very, very excited to see it actually coming to fruition and publication next month. Tell the audience a little bit about The Redemption of Morgan Bright. Give us a little bit of a flavor of what's to come.
Sure. I'm very excited about this book. The Redemption of Morgan Bright, in, you know, two sentences, it is a story of a woman who assumes a false identity to have herself committed into an institution in order to solve the mystery of her sister's death. That's the quick elevator pitch. It is a contemporary gothic, supernatural, psychological thriller. It's told through chapters of prose, as well as transcripts of interviews between witnesses and the police, as well as text messages and some quote historical research, some little sections where you might find a map or a newspaper article or a press release. And so it's a big twisty puzzle. And, you know, there's plenty of that wonder that I've talked about. At least I tried. And I tried to tie this thing up and bring all those layers together at the end. So I'm extremely excited. Anyone who likes gothic, asylum, psychological with a supernatural element, this book might be for you.
Perfect. And so just to round this off, where can everyone find out more about yourself and all that you're working on, Chris?
Sure. So my website, first of all, I'm not shy, so I'm easy to find. I am at, my website is Chris Panettiere, P-A-N, like Nancy.
Which I've been saying wrong the entire time, and I apologize.
No, you haven't. Don't worry about that. When the original... The person who came over to the U.S. originally was Italian. It was Panettiere. For some reason, they lopped off the I, and now it's French. So it's chrispanettiere.com. I'm on Twitter at Chris J. Panettiere. I'm on Instagram at Chris Panettiere and everywhere else. So if anyone wants to find me, just Google Chris Panettiere and you will find me very easy. And of course, I love chatting with anybody who likes to read or talk horror anytime, so I'm not shy about that stuff.
And I can definitely attest to this.
Yes. Well, we had a great time in they call it BarCon, don't they?
Yeah. Many, many breakfasts, many powdered eggs.
Oh, yes. Oh, those powdered eggs. Whew, takes me back.
Yeah, I guess with that, there's nothing left to say other than a huge thank you, Chris, for joining us this week. And a massive Daniel. Thank you to you, the listeners, as always, for tuning in. Find out more about all that's going on with The Other Stories, the podcast at theotherstories.net. And we'll see you next time when we strap our next willing victim into the writer's chair. One more time from myself and from Chris.
Thank you so much, Daniel. I really appreciate it. I really do. And I miss you, man.
I miss you too, dude. We'll catch up real soon.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Bye for now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.